Well, everybody, welcome to the first ever Woodhull Raceway recap show. I got myself, Joe Cook, announcer here from beautiful Hawaii, and Terry Pierce. I'm not really sure your job title
Manager, I guess.
manager. He's in the Southern Tier Customs headquarters. So I guess everybody go like and follow the face or the YouTube page, Facebook page. We got a TikTok too, so I guess that about wraps up the beginning of this and kind of what we're doing. And we're going to move on to opening night, sponsored by Brews Booze, located on 417 Jasper, New York, premier liquor store. Sell your wine, liquors, and spirits there. I guess you want to touch on a couple new sponsors that we got. I know. So we got the Lowry Family Farms. They're sponsoring the beef pasture. So that's going to be over the top of turn number three.
Yes,
And then,
absolutely. So Lowry's came on board this year and decided they wanted to do something a little bit different. So we're thinking outside the box here, and we let them sponsor turn three. And yeah, so any action that goes on in turn three is actually going to be part of the Lowry Family Farms beef pasture.
I guess we got some shaken ups in the class sponsors. I know that yourself and Southern Tier Customs, you guys moved from the street stocks to the late model. So Southern Tier Customs, they're going to sponsor the late models this year. Opening the door, I guess, back for Joe Wilcox at Joe Wilcox Performance Automatics. So he's moving back with the street stocks. And then Lad Road, Ken's Auto are taking over the hobby stocks. I think, did I get them all?
Yeah, that's right. It's actually, yeah. So actually, Joe and Gene spent a lot of years sponsoring the street stock class. And here a couple of years ago, they decided that they were going to move away, move closer to family, and they were going to retire. Well, so they came to me and asked me if I would be interested in taking the class over. So I told them I would. I took it over. Well, it turns out that things didn't work out as planned for them, and they decided not to move away. They decided they couldn't be away from Woodhull Raceway that long. So they decided to stay, and with that happening, the late model class opened up. We needed a sponsor for it. So I called Joe and said, as long as you guys aren't leaving and your business is going to stay running, do you want the street stock class back? And I'll move up. And he did. So that's what happened there. Lad Road Auto and Ken's, that's a brand new sponsor. They came on board and called up and said they would like to do something. And I told them that class was open for sponsorship. And they have a car in that class, and they also have one in the front-wheel drive class, the Quad C class. So they were happy to take over that class.
Yeah, that's Josh Stone. I guess we better throw the
Yeah.
name out there, you know, give him a little bit of a publicity there. So I guess that's kind of done with the new sponsors, unless you got another one that I missed.
No, I don't. But Joe, maybe we should we say something about the news with Lowry's and what's coming up on autograph night.
Yeah, this seems like a good time to break the news.
So, amongst all of our negotiations back and forth with Lowry Family Farms, Lowry's Family Farms has decided that on autograph night, which I believe is May 31st, I believe,
Keep going
and
and
they,
I'll look for sure.
they decided that they're going to come on board that night. And they're going to sponsor something totally different. We're going to do $1 hot dog night, and they are sponsoring all the hot dogs. All the hot dogs will be provided from Lowry Family Farms. They're going to be fresh, made that week, pork hot dogs for $1 a piece in the grandstand concession stand only. So if you're in the pits and you want $1 hot dog, you're going to have to come over to the grandstands. And so we ask everybody, stop on over and thank Lowry's for it and welcome them as part of the Woodhull Raceway family. It
Yeah,
should be kind of interesting, something new and fun.
that is May 31st. That is autograph night. So a good night to do it too. Especially you could bring the kids, get a hot dog for $1, and then have your favorite
Absolutely.
race car driver sign something. So
Right, absolutely.
I guess now we can move into the heat recap. Not, I'm kind of gonna just kind of buzz through them because I really don't know, unless I'm wrong, but I really don't know if much really happened in the heats. It was just kind of everybody pretty much doing their job. So in the hometown excavation crate sportsman, Isabel Barron, Tim Guild both picked up the wins. Only one crate late model, Southern Tier Customs crate late model heat. That went to Austin Allen. Joe Wilcox Performance Automatic Street Stocks, Dan Gardner and Teddy Morseman. Teddy Morseman after going to the pit area tour. I don't know if he actually went to the pit area, but he did go around cause of caution. So he went from the back up front. Wicked T's Quad C, Chris Woodard and Joe Gillespie. And then in the hobby stocks, the Ladd Road Kensado hobby stocks, Brian Austin and Dylan Phillip. So I don't know, you got much to add there. I think it's
No, not really. We did see a couple cars, on that first night, mishaps, trying to shake the car down. They didn't get practice, so it was kind of tough for them. And we did see a little bit of attrition in the heats, but for the most part, most guys were all able to come back. I know there was a couple of them that couldn't, but for the most part, most guys did.
yeah, about the only one that really hops into my mind, Scotty McRae. I know he blew, I think it was a water pump, but or a
Yeah, and
power
I think
steering line.
Coots has
Boots
had a
is,
great sportsman car
yeah.
there with a new driver in it, and which I believe is the grandson, I believe, of Steve Coots.
So would that be Adam's boy? Is that,
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah, I believe so.
I'll have to reach out and find out. I
Yep,
figured they were
definitely.
related somehow, but.
Yep. I believe it is. And something broke on their car, and they ended their night early also.
And I guess we went to intermission where we then had a helmet drive for Jordan Bacon, tragic accident there, and he's fighting for his life up and strong. And well, the Woodhull people came through, $869 going towards the family there. So that's a pretty big deal.
It was an awesome thing for our drivers to do, and honestly, the crowd was a little weak, I think, because of the weather, being the first night and with the rain that came in and stuff. So the crowd was a little weak. So that's pretty good money for what we had there to deal with. And you know what? From what I've seen, it looked like most of the drivers were there with their helmets going through. So that's awesome that the Woodhull family pulls together like that, does that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and talking a little bit more on that whole ordeal, I know Hannah Jackson, she's making Jordan Bacon stickers, and I think the proceeds are going to the family. And I think, oh man, I looked and I looked and I looked, and you would think I would remember, but I want to kind of try to get everybody's names here. I think John Stewart is buying them for the, who's our head flagger, he's buying them for the Crate Sportsman cars. Danielle Morseman, she's going to buy them for the Quad C's. Katrina and Teddy Morseman, they're going to buy them for the street stocks. Doug O'Brien and MKO Motorsports are going to buy them for the late models.
Yep, Steph
And
Waters.
Steph
Yep.
Waters is going to buy them for the modifieds, and Steve Williams is going to buy them for the hobby stocks. So, and I will have them in the announcer's tower too for sale. So if anybody, it'll be a lot easier. I think I talked to Hannah, and her idea is more going to stay over to the pits, but she is going to deliver some to me so I can sell them out of the announcer's tower for the grandstands for people that want them. So kind of a tragic accident, but Woodhull seems to always come together under circumstances like that. So,
Oh, they definitely do, that's for sure.
and I guess we'll just move into the feature events. And well, they started off with the Warriors. Well, I guess that was before intermission, so I guess I kind of went out of order already, but I think it was eight laps, only two cars, so we knocked it down to eight laps. But Courtney Thomas led all eight. And people will say there's only two cars, but these are kids. Maybe you know the actual age on that. I think it's 12 to 15, but I could be.
Yeah, I believe so. Yes.
So you know what? They're kids, and I've seen a lot of kids not be able to get around the track. So I think they both did an excellent job, and congratulations to her. First win of her career. And I know that she's watched about everybody in her family go to victory lane. So I was happy to see her finally get in there herself.
Absolutely. I'm sure that was just the first of many. Did you see the car that she was driving? That was a sharp looking car too. Look, the color she has this year, phenomenal. They
I meant
really.
to tell you, I did get a lot of compliments on the, or she got a lot of compliments on the look of her race car on Facebook.
Yeah.
I don't know who wrapped that, but they did do a pretty good job.
No. Well, I don't mean it like that. I mean just the colors that she picked. But as a young girl, that she really got a car that really stood out. That's for sure. She
Yeah,
was
definitely,
pretty
definitely.
excited about this year. I know just from what I've talked with her a little bit before racing season started. And it's there. The drive is there in that girl. You can tell. You can see she's going to win races. It's just a matter of time. There ain't no doubt.
Yeah, and I think Danielle might have been happier than when she won.
Yeah, I think so. Probably right.
She seemed she, they all seemed pretty happy down there. So we were I was happy to see her win. She deserved it. She'd been at it for a few years now. And
Yep.
so I guess that was before intermission. After intermission, then we had the Hometown Excavation Sportsman. Isabel Barron led, and then Kenny Peoples Jr. got by her on lap six. He got into a little bit of lap traffic, opened the door. Barron capitalized on lap 14. Caution came out on lap 15, and they had a pretty hard race and clean race, and Isabel did a great job holding him off.
Oh, absolutely. She did. She did. That was a very good race between them guys, that's for sure.
Yep. Now a rain delay. And this is so we had the late models out on the racetrack, and then it started to rain. And I gotta say thank you to the late model guys and the street stock guys, because it's no fun. You know,
Right.
they're driving through, and it's raining, and everything's getting covered in mud, and they stayed out there to try to help us not lose the track. And I don't know if you want to take it from there, but
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, I stayed right down there on the track, kept a close eye on to it. And really, the water wasn't, we weren't getting soaked on the track. Like, there wasn't water collecting on the track. The track actually was really good shape. It was absorbing the water good. I knew if we pulled the cars off the track, we were probably going to lose it. So, I wanted to keep the tires on there the best we could. I needed the rain to stop, and it didn't. It kept coming just a little bit, just enough to make it a nuisance. Well, Austin Allen stopped and said, "You know, we're out of tear-offs on our helmets. We can't see. You know, our visors are covered in mud." So at this point, I'm trying to think of what we can do because I want to keep tires on there, but I can't. We're not going to be able to go green when these guys can't see. So I made the call, and I don't know that it was the right call, but we tried it. We sent the late models to the pits and let them go and put new and fix their visors. In the meantime, I tried to get the street stocks back out there to hold the track. Now, I really hated to give up the big tires on the late models to go to the street stocks with a little bit smaller tire, but I felt like we had no choice. If we were going to keep that track, we had to keep the cars on there. We brought the street stock guys down. They came out on the track. I know it was not the ideal situation for the street stock guys. They were covered in mud, everything else, but they did keep the track. They were able to keep it maintained, and pretty soon, I was kind of scared. I thought we were going to call it. I thought we were going to lose the track, and then all of a sudden, it quit raining. The guys had the track back in just a couple minutes, and really, I'm not sure the time frame of how long it took us, but they kept it, and we were able to go back and go green and finish their race, and then let the late model guys come back down. My hat's off to both them classes right there. You guys did a phenomenal job helping us keep that place. If you guys wouldn't have wanted to do it, we would have pulled off, we'd have lost it, we'd have been done racing for the night. These guys showed the dedication, they showed that they wanted to race, they stayed out there and helped us. I mean, we appreciate it tremendously, the effort they put in.
Yeah,
That's for sure.
I said thank you to a few guys, and the ones that I talked to pretty much all said that we want to race. You know, they don't want to come here and have it rain out, and I don't think anybody does. You know, fans don't, we don't.
No,
So.
absolutely. I always look at it like this. They've got so much money invested in their cars and their equipment that if there's a chance and a possibility that I can keep them cars on the track and let them race and have fun that night, I'm going to do whatever I can to make it happen, you know. And Terry and Nikki both agree. They're like, fight for it. And toward the end, I thought I'd lost it. And I said to Terry Brewer, I said, "I think I've lost it. I think we're going to call it." And Terry Brewer was the one who came back to me and said, "No, give it 5 more minutes. I'm watching the radar. The radar, it looks like it's going to quit any minute." He's like, "Just hold out a little bit longer." And sure enough, a couple minutes later, it quit raining. And that was it. That was the last rain of the night right there. So.
Well, you touched on Terry Brewer too. That's I kind of want to give him a shout out too, because he does the track prep there at the Woodhull Raceway, and it boy, all day. You know, you never knew if it was the big rainstorm was going to come, and it never did. And he had that track from it was phenomenal. I don't know if there was a hole in the place. You know, everybody there was multiple grooves. The racing was good. It was smooth, and he so hats off to him and his track crew. They did a great job.
Oh, absolutely. I showed up there Saturday morning and Terry was out there working the track and I went down to talk to him a little bit. We went over some things and he had been up for like 32 hours straight. You know, I don't think people realize just what goes into track prep. It's not just going out there throwing a little water on the track and rolling it in. That's not how that works. There's a lot to it. There's a lot of science to keeping a racetrack and Terry definitely puts in the hours to get it done. That's for sure.
Yep. So now we're gonna move on to the Joe Wilcox Performance Automatic Street Stocks. Boy, this was a race you did not want to be up front in,
I
and
know, definitely not.
until Bradley Morseman got up there. But So Dan Gardner, he led at the beginning. He broke. He was leading. Then Tony Harris got the lead. Contact between him and Butler and Brian Butler, and he had to go to the pit area. So then Brian Butler, he took over the lead, and then he breaks. And then Teddy Morseman, I think he got up to second. I think Bradley took over at that point, if I'm not mistaken. But Teddy
Right.
Morseman, he was up into second, and then he broke again. So, and then Bradley, he ended up, I think he took the lead about after, right after about halfway, and then he kind of led the whole thing. And he had a tough competition there. Dale Risinger did not let him get too far ahead. As I funny story, kind of, I looked over to Scott Drake and Jerry Simons, and I said, "Has anybody ever heard of Dale Risinger?" I said, "If somebody here has, it'd be one of those two." And they both go, "No." And I said, "Well, he knows his way around here for being somebody that nobody's ever known to be here before."
I can kind of talk about that a little bit too. So he actually called earlier in the day. He races at Genesee Speedway, and apparently, I believe they got rained out Saturday night, and he was ready to race and wanted to go somewhere. He'd never been to Woodhull before. He'd never raced at Woodhull. What he called up on the phone and said, "Hey, listen, I think my car's legal, but I got a couple questions on it. Can I race?" And we talked about it and went through, and we said, "Yeah, your car is legal. Come on down." And after the race was over, I walked over to thank him for coming. And the first thing he said to me was, "I can't wait to come back here. This is the most fun I've had in racing in a long time. That was one heck of a race right there." And he was excited as could be. He said, "I can't wait to build a car just for Woodhull to come back." So, yeah, it was great. It was great. Nice meeting the guy. He was a great guy. And he had a fast car. Definitely did. He came up through the pack. He was coming.
So Bradley Morseman, he picks up win number two on his career. Second win for the Morsemans on the night. They've always got just stout equipment there, and Bradley's really picking up where his dad is on how to get around the racetrack. So I guess we can move on to your class, your Southern Tier Custom Late Models, and boy, Brett Marlatt had to work hard for this one. I think Brett led the whole race. He started on the pole, and right next to him was Austin Allen. And they put on a show. Allen would follow him. He tried to make a move on the bottom, didn't quite work. And then he'd finally make it work. And then right as he was going into three, the caution came out. And then the next lap after the green flag dropped, I think he got him going down the backstretch again. And then the caution came out again. And then the single file restarts, Brett just held him off, and Austin tried everything he could do. There's a cool in-car cam that I shared onto the Facebook page that Austin put on his Facebook, but just a great race, and they both had to work for it.
That was a very cool video that Austin shared with us too. It was that the detail. That was a heck of a camera that he's got on that car. Yeah, and I'll say them two right there. They're part of the Canisteo connection. They're both great friends. You can see them hanging out outside the racetrack all the time. I mean, they had no more fun than racing each other as hard as they did the other night, side by side. That was a heck of a race. And I wouldn't leave out a couple other notables there. Marshall O'Brien. Beginning half, first half of that race, that car was stout. He was on point, and he looked like a seasoned veteran back there. I think he was in third or fourth, maybe
He
fifth at the
was
time.
fourth. Kurt Stebbins came in, was
Yeah, oh,
third.
that's right. Yep. And Kurt had a heck of a race going on. And then you go all the way back to Marcus Kerr, his first time in a late model at Woodhull. Never drove one before. That car actually was getting around pretty good. He was having a little trouble in the corners. He just came out of a four cylinder out of Warrior class last year. So he was having a little bit of trouble with the difference between a four cylinder and a late model, going into the corners. He was still trying to drive it like it was a four cylinder, but the car was getting around the corner. I don't think it's going to be many races, and we're going to see this kid start being competitive too. So yeah, absolutely. There was some good competition in the late models, that's for sure.
Yeah, I think he took 2 years in the Warriors, and his second year he was really, I think it was last year, he had I think 11 feature wins. So
Yeah, he
he
did. Yep.
and he he's 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 got a bright future ahead of him, because he's
Yep, he does.
that
That's
kid
for
can
sure.
go, and once he kind of gets the hang of what a late model wants to do, and you know you there's a bunch of great guys there who are willing to help him out too. You know, he could always go up to Austin. Austin's a good friend of mine. I know if a young kid goes up to him and asks him or Brett, they're going to help him out, or at least kind of point him in the right direction. So.
Yeah, and I do believe that he told me, I believe that Bryce Davis has been helping him out too. Has been working with the kid quite a bit. So that's a good thing too. I mean, you know, Bryce is an awesome driver here in our area, and he's a great asset to some of these new drivers.
Absolutely, absolutely. So the Wicked Tees Quad C next feature. I know that's different than the list I gave you, but that was the next one we did.
Yep. No,
And
that's fine.
so this was what Wesley Hotelling, he's won 11 features the past 2 years, two track champions, man to beat. I think he started second.
Yep.
And somebody that you talked to in the off season that said he might think he's got something for Wesley was right on his tail. You
He
know,
was.
Blake Snyder in the 18 did not let Wesley get too far ahead of him.
No, he did not. And he doesn't have that much experience going around Woodhull. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, he's got another car also that he's bringing with somebody else driving it that's going to come back. So the class is still going to build a little bit. I know there was a couple other cars that were coming to Woodhull that didn't make it the other night. So I know that we still got a couple more coming. So although Wesley started off right where he left off last year, I think Wesley better be careful. There's some guys that are gunning for him and they're coming. So I think it's going to be a pretty good season in the Quad C class, that's for sure.
Yeah, and Chris Woodard, he was there. He finished in the top three, and he won a feature last year. So, and he races over at Outlaw, I know, and he's got a fast car. So,
Yes, he
I
does.
think Wesley's definitely going to have his hands full. And you know, Danielle's finished runner up the past what 4 years it seems like, and
Yep.
so, and you know
Definitely.
she's got a fast car. So, you know,
Right.
there's the Quad C's are, I think they're going to be quite a division this year, and we'll see what happens there. Hopefully somebody can give Wesley a little bit of a challenge, at least for wins, because it just seems like the past 2 years he's just kind of ran roughshod over the division.
Yeah, he definitely has. That's for sure. Wesley does his homework and he works on that car a lot, or he, you know, he's got a lot of time invested in that car, so for sure.
So Ladd Road, Ken's Auto, Hobby Stocks, you know, your 2024 track champion. Started right up front, Brandon Conklin. Draw, redraw, but he started right up front. And about halfway through, I don't think he'll mind me saying this with a laugh, but about halfway through, Brandon Conklin ran out of talent.
Absolutely. I talked with him on the phone this morning and he's still chuckling about it. He said it was all his fault.
I think he's being a little hard on himself.
Yeah, he stopped and told me that there was oil on the track, and I walked down in the corner and there was in fact some oil down there. We found the car that it was coming from, and I pulled him, stopped him on the back stretch, and in fact I did see the oil leaking out of the car. We warned him and sent him to the pits. He went to the pits. And but it was a little bit too late for Brandon. It was all over at that point. He had already spun out and went to the back.
Yeah, a tough break for him, but I know Dylan Phillip was riding in second. And he had, I believe, it was four feature wins last year, and he's always a stout guy. And I didn't know, but that is an old Dave Mechuga car, so that's kind of a neat thing. I know Todd Burgess was happy to see that.
Yes, it absolutely was. It was so Butch used to have that car. They used to be Butch's car. I don't know if anybody remembers. Butch drove for quite a few years in the 52 car at Woodhull with that same exact car. And when Butch quit racing, they took that back to Burgess's shop, and I believe it sat out in the weeds and had been sitting there until all of a sudden one day, Dylan Phillips, they told him if he wanted it, go get it. And he went out and dug it out of the weeds, brought it home, and polished that thing up and worked on it. And absolutely, he's got a stout machine there. You can't knock that car. Every week he's right there. So
Yeah, well, the hobby stocks. Well, another one that, I mean, Joe Birdsall, I know he ran into some problems. And I think Mike Palmer, he finished with a top five. And Brian Austin, he won a heat race earlier, ended up finishing third. And so that's a stout class as well. You know, that's a tough
there it is.
one. And any win you're going to earn there.
There's a lot of talent in that class. There's no doubt. There's no doubt. Joe Birdsall, he probably would have been there at the end. He lost a clutch in the heat, I believe it was. Got that fixed, came back out in the feature and broke a distributor. So just some bad luck to start the season off with Joe Burtzel. Yeah, but he looked good. Jason Warner looked good too. Jason was right there too. He wasn't far behind him, and he's driving the old Jason Cutthroat car, which we know was a stout car
Yeah,
back,
that
you
car
know, when
won a
Jason
feature
had it.
last year.
Yep. So there's, yeah, there's a lot of class there. And there was a rookie in there too, the
Who
Jacob Stone.
Rhys Hackett as well. He finished fourth,
Yes.
and Jacob Stone, I believe, finished fifth or sixth.
Yes. Both them guys. Yeah. And you know, it's funny, I talked to Reese a little bit. Reese has been racing for 13 years and never won a race. You know, and to look at him in that hobby stock the other night, you'd never have known it. He looked great in that thing. And he's put a lot of time in that car this last winter. He built it from the ground up. And I wouldn't be surprised. I think we'll see him in victory lane before long.
Yeah,
Jacob Stone, you know, there's another one. He never drove a hobby stock before. He jumped in that car the other night. And of course, that's an old leaf spring car. You don't see those anymore. And he made it look good. That car was pretty stout too. So there's definitely a lot of talent in that class, and it's going to be interesting to see what that class does this year. That's for sure.
that I'm kind of interested to see what happens to every class. I mean, we haven't even seen the modifieds yet, and I think we had one of the best nights in since I've been announcing that I could remember. I don't remember ever, I don't even remember anybody wrecking anybody, you
Yeah,
know?
nope. It was a pretty quiet night for even me. I didn't hear a lot. I mean, you know, usually I'm the guy that they come looking for at the end of the night, and it was pretty quiet. And actually, we got a lot of compliments from drivers who said, you know, hey, I want to compliment the staff for keeping this track going tonight, and how great the track was, how great a condition it was in. We heard a lot of that the other night, and that's always good to hear. You know, it makes us feel good that, hey, we're trying and it's actually working, you know.
Right, and
So.
we're trying to break in a couple new flaggers too.
Yes.
I know our turn one flagger, he's pretty new to it, and so for the first night and to never have an issue with it, that's if you don't know he's there, that's a good sign.
Yes, that's for sure. I went down and talked to them a couple different times. I was trying to work with them a little bit, and I told them, if you don't see me, then that means I'm watching you, but you're doing a good job. And I didn't have to go down there. He did great. You know, and I kind of said to the drivers, some of them in the drivers meeting, you know, hey, listen, we got some new flaggers out there, so let's be cautious and let's help the guys out a little bit. You know, it's give them, cut them a little slack. And again, it's that way all the way around. You know, it's our first night in. We had some issues with the MyLap system. We had some issues with, I don't know, a couple the speakers over in the pits, the microphone. I guess I broke that over there accidentally in the drivers meeting. So I got to get that fixed by next week. But and same with our photographer. We got a brand new photographer. We're working on getting that up and running so that you guys can buy pictures. Everybody's asking where are the pictures from Saturday night. We have them. We're just trying to get it set up to where we can get them available for everybody. So be patient with us and we'll get it. Things are rolling. I mean, we're definitely in the off season. We made a lot of changes at Woodhull Raceway, and we're still putting stuff together. I don't know if anybody noticed the new caution lights we got up. I had a lot of compliments on them. I love them. I think they were great. Now we got a new lap counter we're working on. We had to dig a pretty big hole to pour a concrete in to set this sign, because it's a pretty good size lap counter. So the weather hasn't cooperated with us very good to be able to do this. And we just got the sign a month ago. So bear with us, but that thing's definitely coming, and I think you guys are going to like it when it's done. Yeah, there's a couple other improvements that we're working on right now that hopefully you'll see them soon also.
Well, I guess you got anything else? Is that all you got?
I one more thing. I'd like to talk a little bit about next week. Okay, so we're going to bring in the modifieds next week. Okay, it's Legends Night, and we're going to be honoring Billy Van Pelt. Now, Joe, you know as well as I do that there's nobody that has more wins at Woodhull. I don't believe ever. Than Billy Van Pelt. I mean, this guy has dominated at Woodhull over the years. He's being inducted this summer into the Hall of Fame. I believe it's the National Hall of Fame, I believe. So this is a big deal. You know, it really is for him. And we're going to honor him that night. And I'll tell you, I don't think it's a night you're going to want to miss, because I've already had a bunch of drivers who have called and said, you know, hey, I raced with Billy years ago. I'm bringing a car and I'm coming back. I'm coming back to race that night. Or I've heard people say, you know, hey, I've watched Billy since I was a kid. I can't wait to come and honor him that night. I think the place is going to be packed, in my opinion, as long as we have good weather. And I think you're going to see an awesome car count. And I tell you, I bet you we see some really good racing again because the track is looking phenomenal right now. We got some new clay on there. I mean, everything the other night, the track was perfect. And the way the weather looks for this week, I think it's going to be perfect again. I don't see that changing. So,
I'm not gonna lie to you, I haven't looked at the weather at all for this weekend.
yeah, I usually try not to, but I had to eye it a little bit. I was on the phone this morning getting some more scheduling done for this stuff and for this race, and talking to some of the people, and I'm like, I want to check the weather, and I want to be able to tell them that, hey, make sure you're there because it's going to be a great sunny day, and I believe it's going to be. So let's see how it goes. But I definitely don't think you're going to want to miss this week. That's for sure. Not with Billy Van Pelt in the house.
Right, and that's going to be sponsored by Blend's Feed Store and White's Towing and Repair. Well, is that all you got, I guess, for this week? And we're going to try to do this on Sundays. I know it's Monday, but we're going to try to do this on Sunday. I got a little busy with Easter with the family, so we didn't find time in our schedules to meet up and do that. With the Zoom meeting, you might even be able to see a couple drivers pop in every now and then and kind of get from their side of view as long as we wait until Sunday. We can't do it on Saturday. We don't want them getting on the Zoom meeting right after the races, but
Yeah, no, for sure. Absolutely. Yeah, it would be fun to see some of them come in and do this. And I think we possibly can make this happen. I don't think that would be an issue. I know there's a lot of them that would love it. A lot of them are going to support this idea. Joe, I thank you for putting this thing together, man. It's an awesome job. Without you behind the controls there, I don't know how this would ever take place. So,
all I did was send an email.
well,
All right, well,
listen, and again, if anybody has suggestions, man, let us have them. We're trying to make Woodhull great again, right? Isn't that what we're trying to do here? And we'll take all the help we can get. Or bear with us as we move forward on this stuff.
yeah, so I guess that'll do it for this week. Once again, I do want to thank Bruce Booze of Jasper, New York, this week's presenting sponsor, and I guess that's it for us, isn't it?
That sounds good to me. Well, I thank you, Joe, and you have a great day.
Yep, you too.